Life is just a series of days. And that every day is a new opportunity for us to grow as we learn to follow Jesus. But the truth is, if nothing changes in our daily life, then nothing significant is likely to change in our actual life. The key to significant spiritual growth is to develop good spiritual habits. Our habits form the pattern of our daily life and can either lead us toward God or away from Him. So, are you ready to grow?
Are we ready to grow? That's a good question. Growth, spiritual habits. I want to share a personal story. A few weeks ago, I found myself dealing with some personal struggles. There were certain questions and thoughts that I couldn't understand about people and situations in the world that were causing me to wrestle with my faith. This caused so much frustration and anger to build up inside of me that I became bitter. I needed a way to release this negative energy in a positive way. What I needed was an outlet. To tell the truth, I just needed someone to vent to. Someone who understood my pain. Sometimes we just need a judgment-free environment to go to. And someone who will listen and encourage us. Someone who will lift us up. And someone who will remind us who we are. My question for you today is, who's your person? Who brings you comfort when you need it the most? Who's your outlet? Who do you go to when you need encouragement? During this time, God began to convict me. He helped me to realize that something was missing from my life. Something essential was missing from my daily routine. And when God convicts us, it's not always easy. And so I realized that I will continue to have these feelings until this void was filled. Truth is, we all struggle. But the reality is, there is someone who identifies with us. Someone who understands our pain. It is important for us to know that God is our comforter. And because of the cross, we have continuous access to God our Father. God understands our struggles. And as His children, He is always there to be our outlet. An important part of our relationship with God is our communication with Him. And that is what was missing from my life. Now, it's not easy to get up here and say this because this just doesn't make sense for us as Christians sometimes to just get up and say, you know, I'm lacking in my prayer life. I think sometimes it's easier for us to just ignore it and walk around like everything's okay. And this is what God was convicting me of. I'm not going to stand here before you and pretend that my relationship with God is always perfect. But I will share what I learned from this experience. Going to God and pouring my heart out to Him brought peace and joy back into my life. And that's what God wants for us. Going to God is such a beautiful thing. And because of this experience, my perspective was changed about my time that I spent communicating with Him. I really, truly understood why it's so important. Today, we're going to talk about this regular habit that we need to develop. As followers of Christ, we need to develop a habit of prayer, and we need to work at it. As Christians, having a regular routine of prayer is vital for our spiritual health. In fact, I would go as far as to say that without it, our spiritual life is incomplete. There's a yearning that we have without it. What I mean is that without a regular routine of prayer, you always have a feeling of something missing from your spiritual life. Have you ever felt that way? You will continue to feel that there's something missing in your relationship with God. This is actually what was going on for me. So today, we're going to look at what Jesus taught us about prayer. So if you will please turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to turn to the New Testament, the first gospel. And we're going to read through verses 5 through 13. Most of us know this as a famous prayer today. But Jesus really taught us something important within this prayer. I'm going to read through this, then I'm going to come back and I'm going to unpack this great teaching of Jesus and see what our Lord and Savior is teaching us. So please follow along as I read. In verse 5, starting at verse 5, Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Have you ever found yourself comparing your ability to pray to how other people pray? Or maybe you're the type of person who's nervous to pray in front of people because you're afraid of what they're going to think or say about you. Have you ever thought that if people don't see me praying, then they're going to assume that I don't know how to pray? Have you ever felt any of these feelings? And if you felt these feelings, then take heart in verse 5. Jesus is teaching us in verse 5 that the reward of our prayer, the reward of our prayers, isn't how others view our prayers. It's not about how others view our ability to pray. It's about how we pray to God. It's about our relationship with God. In fact, Jesus warns us against this type of attention seeking when we pray. He's telling us that when we pray, it's not for the attention of others. That's not our purpose for praying. Our prayers are not to be used for popularity. Jesus says that this is what the hypocrites do. Jesus warns us and calls these performances because that's what they are. Our hearts are prone to pride, and we must be on guard of this pride. He's not telling us that it's wrong to pray in public as we do when we gather together here for worship. He's warning us against hypocrisy. If your purpose for praying is for others to view you as this person of magnificent, with this magnificent prayer ability, or your purpose for praying is so people would see you as an awesome Christian, then that's simply what you would get. That's your reward. That's what Jesus is saying here. Jesus says this because prayer is meant for so much more than that. Jesus is telling us that there's a genuine reward that comes from prayer. We're supposed to reap something when we pray. And whatever this reward is, it's not quite mentioned. It's meant to fulfill our inner being. It's not meant to fulfill our pride. This is why Jesus wants us to know the correct way to pray. So that when we pray, we will reap the reward that God has prepared for us to receive. Jesus says, go into your secret place. Go into your prayer closet. In other words, find a quiet place. Go off on your own. Free yourself from the distractions so that you can be with God, your Father. God hears what no one else hears. He sees what is unseen. We read that God is unseen. Jesus is telling us that God is concealed. He's in a private place that we must go to be in his presence. This word, unseen, is the same Greek word that is used to say inwardly or secret. Inwardly or secret. So this verse could literally read that God is inwardly, he's in a secret place where you can go to meet him. I personally take this to mean that God literally meets you where you are at. And he wants to meet you personally and privately. How special is that? The creator of the universe wants to meet you personally, just you and him, in a secret place designated for you and him. This secret place where God isn't hard to find. You just have to go there. This is why Jesus says, go off into your closet and shut the door. This means go off by yourself, set yourself off in the world of distractions, and pray to God your Father. In verse 7, we see that we can't go to God thinking that our fancy words and our long periods of prayer is what's going to get God's attention. There's no brownie points for saying specific words to God. There's no extra credit for how long we spend in prayer. I know sometimes we can think that, but it's not about the words we're using and the amount of time we're spending in praying to God, because the reality is he knows what we need before we even ask. This doesn't mean that we're not to present our requests before God. It simply means that we need to humble ourselves before God and approach him with respect in a way that honors who he is. God, the creator and giver of life, the God who spoke this world into existence, and the God who sustains our every need. God loves a heart of humility. That's the type of communication he wants from us. God just wants to be with you. He wants an active relationship with you. The way that Jesus tells us to pray in verses 8 through 13 was meant to shift our focus outwardly away from ourselves and towards God. to shift our focus outwardly towards him. Prayer is not all about us. It's not all about us. I know sometimes it's easy to think that way, but it's so much more. It's an act of worship towards God. It's spending time with God, our creator. It's about our relationship with him. A time for us to reflect and give him thanks for how he sustains our every need. A time to be filled with his presence. So when we pray, we're to pray in a manner that recognizes and reminds us of how holy God's name is, how holy he is. Jesus used the words, "Hallowed be your name." Holy is your name, God. We're to remember that we're speaking to our Heavenly Father. We're not just talking to anyone. God is holy. He deserves our honor. That's how we're to approach God. Jesus taught us to pray for his kingdom to come. How often are we praying for our kingdom? How often are we praying simply for our benefits? Jesus taught us to pray that his will be done in our lives. His will be done in our lives. Not our will, but his will. God's plans for us supersedes any plans that we could ever have for ourselves. I know it's hard to see it that way sometimes, but he has our best in mind. Jesus taught us to pray that God's kingdom will rule on earth just as it is in heaven. Jesus taught us to pray for him to give us our daily bread. I take this to mean to pray that God will fill us physically and spiritually. He's our daily bread. Prayer also consists of confession. It consists of praying for others. We're to pray for forgiveness. And one of the things that Jesus taught us in his prayer was to pray against temptation. Against temptation. Jesus was teaching us to pray against the forces of evil that we face every day. Sometimes it's easy to overlook that we're on a spiritual battlefield each and every day. And there's so many things that the Bible teaches about prayer that it would take forever to stand here and teach everything that the Bible has to say about prayer. But Jesus was just giving us an example. He was just giving us a few of the things that we should be praying for. In these verses, Jesus is showing us how to pray from our heart. How to have a relationship with God our Father. He wants us to pray for the things that bring true value to our Christian walk. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is teaching us how to shift our attention away from ourselves and towards God. In our heart, we should long for God's kingdom. We should long for his will. We should long to be filled with his spirit daily. To sum up this whole teaching, Jesus is teaching us to pray with humility and a reverence towards God. Because our prayer is an act of worship and communication with a holy God. It's our relationship with him. When we pray the way that Jesus taught us to pray, we are told that we will reap a reward. Now, we're not specifically told what this reward is, but let me say this. When we pray the way that we are meant to pray, the inner peace that we receive from praying and communicating with God is rewarding within itself. Jesus taught us how to pray because prayer is something we must learn how to do. Prayer is a learned behavior. No one is born with this natural ability of knowing how to pray. How many babies have you seen praying? Well, we don't know. Maybe they're praying. I don't know. I can't say that. I know my son the other day said something about he was praying to God in the womb. And we was like, we had to tell our daughter. She was like, no, he wasn't. I'm pretty sure he probably was. We can't make that. But what I'm trying to say is, no one's born with this natural ability. This is something that we grow at. We learn to do the more we do it. And what better teacher do we have? Because we need a teacher. What better teacher do we have than God himself in the person of Jesus Christ? My wife and I, we teach our children to pray because if we don't, how can they know how to do it on their own? So we pray with them. So we show them by example. And then we give them the opportunities to pray and practice their prayer, so that we can model to them what it looks like to pray. This is what Jesus did for us. This is what we do together collectively as a body, the body of Christ. When we come together, we pray. We're meant to teach others to pray. Prayer is an ongoing growth. We continue to learn more and more about the power of prayer when we pray. So, with that said, how do we develop a regular habit of praying? Where do we start? Because the truth is, it's not easy. We may think it's easy, but I'm talking about a regular habit of developing time, spending time with God, your Father. If we want to make prayer a regular routine, then it starts with time. It starts with setting aside time in your schedule, making room for God in your schedule. We live busy lives, and it's easy for a 24-hour period to just fly past us, and we say some prayer up to God really quick. I found myself doing it. I'm just saying. I know how easy it is. It starts with setting aside time in our schedules. You need to look at your daily routine and decide what time each day works best for you to spend some time communicating with God. And you have to be diligent with this. This has to be a time that works for you each and every day. Setting aside a specific time of day helps us to be consistent, which is the first step to making prayer a regular routine in your life. Consistency. You have to find a time that works for you, not something that works every now and then, but something that works all the time. For some people, this may be easy, but for others, this is going to be a little challenging. It's going to take a little sacrifice and a lot of preparation. But remember this. God blesses us with 24 hours each day. Setting aside a few minutes each day to spend time talking with God your Father is well worth your time. This can be when you wake up in the morning. It could be at lunch. It could be at night. But it has to be a time that works for you. Whatever time you choose, just remember that you have to be consistent. You got to keep it going. But sometimes we need reminders so that eventually this will become a regular routine, something that we eventually begin to do as a normal habit, something that just starts to become natural. Maybe it's a prayer journal that you set on your pillow at night. So when you go to get ready for bed, the prayer journal's sitting there, and boom, okay, I gotta pray. Or maybe you like to jog and you choose that time to be your time. And so you're already getting ready for a jog and you go to grab your jogging shoes or whatever it may be. You're getting ready and it snaps in your head. Let me spend some time in prayer before I go to jog. Or this could be the same for those who like to work out. You're putting it beside a routine that you naturally do. That's something that's already a habit. And so before you know it, this will become natural. I know for me personally, and I just want to say this looks a little different for everyone. For me personally, my drive to work has been my time. I have a 30-minute drive, and what triggers me is simply getting in the car. I get on 41, and it's like automatic. I don't know. I don't know, it's just something about it, and it's my peaceful time. We have five kids in our house, so it's kind of hard to find that quiet time, if you would say. But for me, that's my time. So it could be, you know, as simple as if you have a nice distance to drive for work, it could be that. You know, if you time after your kids, you drop your kids off from school, whatever. Find a time and be consistent. And for others, it could be as simple as setting an alarm or putting it on your to-do list. Some people are really good at making plans for themselves for the day. Got the shopping list on a refrigerator, you know, put it at the top of the list. You know, that could be what works for you. But you have to find something that works for you. Not everyone else, what works for you. Whatever works for you, you have to do it. And you have to do it purposeful. There's got to be purposeful. That's the whole purpose of this, is making it an everyday habit. Not only should we be consistent, we should also look to be practical. As we learned, it's not about how long you spend in prayer. It's about the value you put into prayer. The value. Make it your purpose to give God at least 5 minutes a day. And you will be surprised to see how rewarding it is. 5 minutes of pouring your heart out to God is far greater than 30 minutes of just sitting there with a blank mind. Because you're putting value into that 5 minutes. And guess what happens? That 5 minutes turns to 10. And that 10 turns to 20. And then there, you know, you're there for an hour. Let God control the time. Giving God control of the time takes away all the pressure. Because I know sometimes we pressure ourselves. That could be our biggest thing. I know I used to say, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to, looking at that clock, I'm going to do an hour. How many of you guys, I'm going to do an hour. I put it in front of you. No. So let's not do that. Let's put value into our prayer. If you're not so concerned about the time, it allows you to really enjoy your prayer time. We want this to be a time that we want to do, not something that we regret. We don't want this to be a New Year's resolution. We want this to be purposeful and about our relationship with God. Who cares if it's a couple of minutes? Who cares if it's an hour? What does matter is the value you put into your prayer. God cares about your relationship with Him. And He wants this to be joy. He wants you to be filled with joy. He wants you to want to spend time with Him. We're creatures of habit. And this is why it's important for us to have a daily routine of prayer. Because before you know it, it will just be something you do naturally. Once you make it a routine, we know how this goes. Once you get a routine of something, before you know it, the light bulb just comes off, and it's just something you realize. You wake up one day and say, man, I'm doing this all the time. We can have good habits, and we can have bad habits. I know there was a time I used to cuss like a sailor, and that was just a natural habit. And then now, today, I can realize, I can look and say, man, you know, it's almost a purpose, because I wanted to make it a purpose not to curse, you know? And so now I realize that it's a habit not for me to curse. It's just something I do naturally now. The point I want to make is we need to be purposeful. So what happens if you miss a day? That's the big question. If you miss a day of prayer, don't be so hard on yourselves. I know we put something and we say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to accomplish this. And one of our biggest failures is when we miss that first day. That's the obstacle to overcome. What we need to do, if you miss a day, when the next day comes, get back to your routine. We have to remember that Jesus came to free us from all the restrictions that religion placed upon us. This is not about trying to earn some type of favor with God. It's about your relationship with God. Scripture says that God's mercies are new each day. This means tomorrow's a new day. Pick right back up where you left off. God still wants that relationship with you. You know, we can't just go and say, I missed a day up. Okay, God, we're done. You know, sometimes it can be that easy. But don't be so hard on yourself. If you miss 2 days, then, you know, just have those reminders. We let God do the convicting, if we would say, right? This is what Jesus meant about going into our quiet place. When you pray, find a place that is just you and God. Because God wants that relationship with you. He wants us off so that he can pour himself out. And remember this, this is a communication with God, not just to God. So take some time to quiet yourselves and hear what he has to say. Sometimes we talk too much and then we never get answers to our prayers. I know I find that myself. I'm just sitting there and before you know it, I'm still sitting like, I wonder what God would say about this. But take some time to just quiet yourselves and hear him. Let's follow Jesus' example by making it a routine and going before our Father and resting in his gentle love. This is something that Jesus did frequently. He constantly separated himself and withdrew himself to a secluded place so that he can go be with his Father and communicate with his Father. He did it when John the Baptist, you know, when he heard John the Baptist die, he went off and he prayed. When he was going to the cross for us, you know how he got through that? He went and prayed. This means turn off the electronics and free yourself from not only your immediate surroundings, free yourself from the outside world. We live in a busy world. Twitter, Facebook, all the other things, da-da-da-da-da. It's easy to want to check our status or, you know, see if we hear that phone buzz, get rid of the phone, move it off to the side, you know, cut off the ringer. Having a set place. Set a place, a time. And I'm telling you something about a set place. A set place can be a special thing. There's a time in my house where we have this patio room. And that room, for a moment, became a special place to me. Still to this day, it's a special place, but it was just something about when I would go into that patio room, and there's the window, and you can see the birds outside chirping, the wind in the trees and the sun shining down. And it would just remind me of God's beauty, his creation. And I would just feel so close to him. It's something special about having that set place. Now, for me, it's driving to work. God's my passenger. So we got that special time, you know. This room truly became my prayer closet. A place where I could go to be with God. It was like that special first time date place that some people may have, and they say, let's go back to this restaurant over and over and over again on anniversaries. That's what this room became for me. The most important thing is to be persistent and diligent in your prayer life, even when you're not feeling up to it. Let's be real. Some days there's a spiritual battle going on, and it's just hard to get down and go before your God, your creator. It's the most important thing to do is just fight through it. Let's be realistic. Some days, prayer is difficult. It can be difficult to make ourselves want to pray. I've been there. But we need to admit that and we need to fight through it. And this is an obstacle. This can be conquered by being persistent. Fighting through our struggles. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And not only that, we have an adversary who hates to see us praying. And so he's going to try to do everything and throw distractions. And like I said, we can be our own worst enemies too. So sometimes we have our own distractions, our favorite TV shows and different things like that. That's why I said it's going to be a little challenging for some of us. But we need to make this a regular routine. So beneficial. My final point is make it simple. Simple prayer. Simple prayer. Simply pray for what's on your heart. Allow God to guide your prayers. Pour your heart out to him. If God placed someone on your heart, pray for that person. That's what prayer is for. It's for pouring our hearts out to God. Speak to God, your Father, as if you're talking to your best friend. Everyone has had that person that they can go to and share everything with. Well, I'm here to say that God is that person. We have had that person, that friend, but God, oh boy, he hears us and he will comfort us. When you pray, give God your heart. I believe this is what Jesus is teaching us. You could tell him your frustrations. You could tell him your worries. You can tell him your anxieties. Lay it all before him. This is what it means to cast your worries before God. It's a judgment-free zone. That's why we can go to him and confess our sins. It's a judgment-free zone. He wants to hear this from you. He wants that relationship. This is part of that relationship. We don't have to hide things from him. We can tell him everything. That is the beauty. If you can count on anyone to listen to you, it's God. God cares about your frustration. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about what's going on in your life. It's important that you develop the type of relationship with God where you feel the freedom to open your heart and let it all out. Let him in and let all the junk out. This type of relationship can only be developed when you have this regular routine of prayer with God, this regular time of meeting him. Prayer is your communication with God. Make it an everyday habit. There's a reward that comes from praying. You get to spend intimate time with God, the creator of the universe. Make it a routine. Go into your quiet place and spend that time with him. It's rewarding. When I was struggling, that was the only, I was talking to people, I talked to my wife, but it wasn't until I went before God and I just cried my heart out to him. A weight off the chest. I think we sometimes just let things build up. We cap it off. We throw it down. Before you know it, gets shooken up. Phew. Let's not do that, because we can go release that pressure to God. Humble yourselves before God. This is the God who created the world and prayed for you. He prayed for our sins before he went to that cross. He prayed that we will be one. He was teaching us so much about prayer. When we read the scriptures, we see Jesus constantly teaching us the importance of prayer. Take some time every day to shift your focus away from yourself and towards him. This is where humility comes from. Prayer reminds us that God is above us and we are equal to everyone else. It humbles us. Remember to be consistent, be practical. It doesn't have to be difficult. And be persistent. Challenge yourselves to grow in your prayer life. Challenge yourself. Challenge yourself, because it's not easy. Prayer is your communication with God. Make it an everyday thing. Make it an everyday habit. And before you know it, it will become natural. Because prayer is a reward. And you will benefit so much from praying and meeting with God, your Father. So what I want to do today, I want to do something different. Usually we would pray, we would end the service in prayer. I think today, I want to invite the worship team to come up. And I just want us to take some time to silence ourselves and pray for one another. This is going to be a prayer between you and God. We're just going to bow our heads. We're going to close our eyes. We're just going to pray to God on our own. Let's start here. Let's start today. And then let's carry this throughout the week. I want you guys to really take this home and think about this. Think about this. If prayer is not a regular routine for you, then today is the day to start your preparations. Because this is your relationship with God, and he wants a relationship with you. It sharpens us. It prepares us for each and every day. It prepares us for the battle. that we face. So I just want us to take this time. We're going to play a little something soft for us, and we're just going to focus on God our Father.